This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Ai Weiwei is a Chinese contemporary artist who gets press attention for his work and his politics. He has criticized the Chinese Communist Party for its monopoly of political power. He has also spoken against the party's handling of the 2008 Olympic Games and the earthquake in Sichuan province. His dissidence has earned him the admiration of international audiences and a stay in prison by the Chinese government. Last autumn, the National Museum of Art at Duke purchased an Ai Weiwei piece. It's a 200-pound marble chair. Kim Rorschach is the curator of the Nasher. She joins us today. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Also joining us is Allison Clayman, the director of a new documentary, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. Allison, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much.
So give us a little biography. Who is Ai Weiwei, Allison?
Well, Ai Weiwei is both, you know, one of China's most famous international artists and also its most prominent domestic outspoken critic. Over the last few years, you know, as you said, he has really risen to international fame for big shows, including a commission in the Tate Modern's Turbine Hall, which he filled with 100 million hand-painted, handcrafted porcelain sunflower seeds. And also last year, he was detained by authorities for 81 days during a widespread crackdown against sort of dissent and free speech in China.
Well, as you said, he has risen to very near the top of a rising class of artists. Contemporary Chinese art has certainly become very popular. How did Ai Weiwei get so close to the top? What distinguishes his work?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, his own biography and really pedigree was something that set him apart from the beginning. His father, Ai Qing, was one of China's sort of most prominent modern poets. His poetry is still in the curriculum today. There's one sort of kink in the fact that, yes, he was born into the cultural intelligentsia, you know, because of his father's position. But at the same time, his father, during the late 50s, fell out of favor with the party and was labeled a rightist and was sent to far western Xinjiang province, where Weiwei actually grew up for the first 18 years of his life. So already you have, you know, some of the great contradictions and complexities of contemporary Chinese history that Ai Weiwei was with, you know, a hero born into the family of a communist sort of revolutionary hero and, you know, world-renowned poet, you know, studied painting in France and, you know, was friends with Pablo Neruda. And, you know, Weiwei knew his father growing up as a toilet cleaner who suffered greatly also during the Cultural Revolution. Weiwei also spent a decade living in New York in the 1980s once his family's name was restored and he just was interested in getting out. And so there he also really, you know, encountered not just Andy Warhol and Marcel Duchamp and all these kinds of works that really and artists that inspired him, but he also, you know, encountered life, you know, the bohemian life in New York for about a decade. And coming back to China in the 90s was a period where he, you know, really fostered a lot of other avant-garde artists who were coming up. And also, as you said, it became actually quite a good time to be a contemporary Chinese artist, you know, over the last 10, 15 years. And so he's always been at the top of the pack.
Well, and as your documentary points out, he's also revered in China. I want to play a clip from the trailer of your film.
There are particular moments and periods which allow a voice to change the way that people think.
In some cases, they call him Ai Shen online, you know, sort of holy eye or eye god. I don't know what the right translation would be, but
Ai Shen, which is like Venus or something, like the god of love. Basically, they consider him a god.
You know, that's a very dangerous description in China.
Do you think you're becoming like a brand?
Yeah, I happen to be a brand for liberal thinking and individualism, I think.
So do you think that your art, or art in general, has the power to stop a dictatorship?
Nobody can change China.
Among all the Chinese artists I know, he's probably the only one who, deep down, really cares about this country and what happens to it. Weiwei would put his life on the line.
There is a clip from the trailer of the film Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, a film produced by Allison Clayman. She is here to talk about him. And, of course, we're talking about The Marble Chair, one of his works that's on display at the Nasher. So, Allison, how much of his popularity is due to his politics and how much is it because of his art?
Well, I think that these are, in most cases, different audiences that you're talking about. You know, when I first met him and began following him for the film Never Sorry in 2008, you know, it was already sort of explained to me. Ai Weiwei is a very, you know, famous international artist and has been for years and years and years, which, again, is, you know, for on the merit of his work. And this was something I witnessed in 2009 when I saw his show in Munich, the biggest solo show of his life, which is featured in the film. And I was blown away at the reception that he received there and was like, wow, you know, it was like having evidence of the fact that he really is so well known in the art world. But, you know, for me, I mean, now I know a lot of contemporary Chinese artists because of making the film. But if you ask me to name, you know, contemporary artist today, I would probably fall short of just a couple big names, Damien Hirst. You know, like there's only so much where it enters people's kind of consciousness in a mass way. Right. And that's where Ai Weiwei's politics, and I would also argue the treatment of the Chinese government for his politics, has really catapulted him into the news section of the paper and not just the art section, so to speak.
So, Kim, tell us about The Marble Chair.
Well, this is a work, a very well-known work by Ai Weiwei, which we purchased last year. As Allison said, he is a very well-known artist in the contemporary art world. We are building a significant collection of contemporary art, trying to be global in our thinking. I've long followed his work because he is such an important artist internationally. I also have a particular interest in contemporary Chinese art and have had since the 90s. And we were looking for a work by him. And again, for lots of reasons, Duke has a lot of activities in China. That seemed like a good thing to keep in mind as well. We knew about this marble chair project that he had done, this group of pieces, which were actually based on a piece called Fairy Tale, a performance that he orchestrated for a large international art exhibition called Documenta in Kassel, Germany in 2007. It's an exhibition that's held every 5 years. And in this project, Fairy Tale, he organized a group of 1,001 Chinese people, Chinese citizens, to go over to Kassel, and he designed the place where they would stay and brought that together. He designed luggage for them and some clothing. He helped them get visas. He put out a call for people to go, people who hadn't traveled abroad before, about young, old, all walks of life. And they all went over to Kassel. He also shipped over 1,001 traditional wooden Chinese chairs, and a performance was done at the exhibition with the people and with the chairs. And then after that, or in connection with that, he made marble versions of these traditional Chinese chairs. And there are a number of them, not 1,001 by any manner of means, but there are a number of them. And it's a piece that we felt was very resonant, very evocative of a lot of important strains in his work, his interest in people and the collective versus the individual. It's transformational in that it takes a traditional object, traditional Chinese antique chair, and re-renders it in a material it never would ordinarily be made of, i.e. marble as opposed to wood. It has an amazing presence in the gallery, and not only is it very beautiful carved out of this, you know, piece of white marble, but it's empty. No one's, it's kind of glistening and gleaming, and no one's sitting there, and it makes you think about the artist and his presence or his absence. And, you know, this was at the moment when he was imprisoned. And so anyway, it seemed like a wonderful piece for us potentially. My colleague Christine Stiles, who teaches contemporary art at Duke, was very enthusiastic about this piece as well. I want to give her credit for working with us on it. And we were able to bring the resources together and to purchase it. And we know that it not only is it an important piece in and of itself, but it will be a real catalyst for the development of a contemporary Chinese collection in a broader way for the Nasher Museum.
What does this piece say? Because you said it's a made in a material that this chair, an antique chair, would not have been made. But it is particularly marble, which I understand is only used for tombstones. I may be wrong about that in China. Is there some significance in that?
Well, perhaps. And that's my understanding, too, that you would ordinarily encounter marble, you know, most usually or almost only in funerary monuments. And I think Ai Weiwei, you know, invites you to make those connections and to think those thoughts. You know, if you think about other works that he's done, the sunflower seeds, you know, what do those symbolize? What do the 100 million symbolize? And you know that they're all handmade and hand-painted by artisans that he recruited. I mean, think of that incredible effort. You know, what does a seed symbolize? I think he invites you to make all those associations and others that you might think about. And my sense of him, I don't know him personally. Again, I've followed his work and you know, read some of his writings, and I'm very interested in his thinking. My sense is that he wants to put these things out there. He has certain ideas, but he wants you to run with it as well, and that is part of the power of his art.
It does seem that he's, if in my interpretation anyway, just briefly, Allison, would be something about tradition, something about changing tradition, and something about monumentalizing that, or the death of something. I don't know. Has he? What is the significance? Do you have any idea what the significance of the chair might be?
Well, I think it was just, you know, also between the conversation of both that you both just had, you touched on so many points. And I think it's absolutely right that that conversation itself is part of what it's about. I agree that, you know, his artwork, unlike perhaps a provocative statement he might make in an interview, is not so direct and not so inflammatory. You know, it really does invite a lot of different interpretation, and it's connected to the history, but it's also trying to make things, you know, relevant and you know, kind of touch on individual ideas and our current situation in the world. So, yeah, in some ways, I want to say that conversation is what it's all about.
Kim Rorschach, this may be the last time on this program we can have such a conversation with you. Our creative class in Durham is diminished now. You're on your way to Seattle. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, Frank.
So why do you hate Durham? No. I had to get. You are leaving for Seattle. Tell us about that. Tell us about what you have to look forward to.
Well, I don't hate Durham at all. Of course, I'm going to miss Durham very much, and Duke and the Nasher Museum. As you know, I was the founding director of the Nasher Museum. It opened in 2005, and I'll always be the founding director and a supporter. And Durham, Duke, and the Nasher will always be very dear to my heart. But Seattle is a great opportunity for me to direct a museum that's a great deal larger, that is an independent institution, a municipal museum, and that needs to be a player, you know, in the development of the creative class in that city, as you were talking about in the earlier segment. Seattle's a very vibrant community, very interesting community. I mean, you have Microsoft and Amazon and Starbucks and Costco and, you know, all kinds of high-tech things going on in a beautiful setting. Again, none of this is to set a negative contrast to Durham. I think they have lots in common, and that's what makes it appealing and exciting. And the museum there has done wonderful, wonderful things, included among which is its commitment to Asian art, longstanding commitment. Again, I'm not an expert in Asian art, but it's an area I've always been very interested in. So there are opportunities to pursue that and to, you know, to build forward and realize the potential for a much larger institution. I'm so proud of what's happened at the Nasher and, you know, just am going on to the next challenge and hope to remain connected.
You have every right to be proud that you took the Art Museum at Duke out of the science, some kind of a science basement, and built a beautiful new building. I guess you had about maybe, what, 10,000 visitors a year, and now you're up to 130,000 in the new building. That's an incredible accomplishment, not to mention all the great exhibits that you've been partly responsible for bringing here.
Well, thank you, Frank. And, you know, it's been with the help of so many people, great colleagues, supporters. I mean, our curators, our staff, you know, I have to say that, colleagues at Duke and in the community. Durham's been an incredible community, a fantastic audience, you know, with us every step of the way, no matter how crazy it was. And so it's just been an unforgettably wonderful experience.
I want to ask you about that. What were the initial your initial expectations and perhaps your initial fears? We're going to put this brand new museum. We're going to build a new building. You know, will they come? They have, but.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. You know, I was new to this community. I didn't know it well at all, and I didn't really know what the audience would expect, what the audience would respond to. We were going to present much more ambitious programming. We were going to always do a variety of things, but with a significant emphasis on leading-edge contemporary art and not necessarily local art, because there's so many other great venues that do that, and we had the resources to bring in other things and enrich the local scene that way, and really not knowing whether people would respond or be interested. And it was just a fantastic surprise. Again, I just didn't know what to expect, but the ground didn't seem to have been that well prepared, but I was wrong about that. I mean, people have been so engaged, interested, and responsive that it's made it all worthwhile.
Kim, we're going to miss you. The very best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Kim Rorschach is the curator at the Nasher Art Museum on her way to the Seattle Art Museum. Allison Clayman directed the new documentary, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. Allison, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. If you have a comment about the show or want to hear a past program, go to our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Alex Granados and Sean Wen. Sarah Edwards is our intern. Robin Copley, the technical director. Managing editor, Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.